Gilmore and Mitchell Trubisky. Their quarterback has won his first game in the NFL.
There we go. Nice to play that song when you actually win a game. It's Monday evening quarterback time. The Chicago Bears beat up, beat the Baltimore Ravens 27-24 yesterday. Was it a, I mean, it's nice to be in the win column, no doubt about it. Was it something that, if you're like me, you still have questions and scratch your head about some of the choices that were made by this Bears coaching staff, especially the offense, as they put the ball in the hands of Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen 50 times, 50 carries. At the end of the game, Mitch Trubisky threw the ball 16 times. That included overtime. On the line with us, okay, Adam Hoge from WGN Radio. He covers the Bears. You can get all his stuff, his great stuff, including the podcast, WGNradio.com/Bears. Joins us every Monday night to rehash 312-981-7200. Mr. Hoge, how are you?
I'm good, Justin. Bears get a win. And had I known that all I had to do was bring you those horrible interception stats that would turn everything around to start getting interceptions, I would have done that back in training camp.
That's right. Last week, we honed in on that, the idea that they had not had an interception. And frankly, they had the worst turnover ratio in the NFL. And they had since what? What was it? Since 2012, they have just... You've seen them drop off a cliff when it comes down to how many turnovers they're getting per game.
Yeah, and they had 16 interceptions since the start of the 2015 season, which was when John Fox took over, which was dead last in the entire NFL. The Cowboys are the next closest team with 19. That was going into this week. So for them to grab those interceptions yesterday and score on one too, which is what Lovie Smith used to always say, you know, don't just get the takeaway, but score on the takeaway. That was the goal every week, and we saw it happen, you know, a lot in his tenure. And since he left, the last five seasons have been rough in that regard.
Adam, I have a lot of questions about the offensive side of the ball, especially when it comes to balance. And I want to get into that, and I've been kind of grousing about that in the last hour. I don't want to get to that, but I think it's fair and in a positive spin to talk about the defense first, because we always do the defense last. But yesterday we started to see why this defense, you know, why there's been so much said about this defense and they could be great. You saw with the turnovers, they turned into a different type of team. They harassed Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens all day.
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen so far this season is a good defense. And, you know, I've said this to you guys, especially up front. The front seven's pretty good. I think that their outside linebackers, they could probably upgrade that position a little bit more in this offseason, but they're not bad. They're getting enough production. Leonard Floyd is actually getting better. I know the sack numbers aren't piling up, but I marked down at least four or five very obvious pressures that he put on Joe Flacco yesterday. So, I mean, there's progress being made there, and as long as you have Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks healthy on that defensive line, they're, you know, I think the Bears are going to have a chance to win football games. But the difference between a good and a great defense is you can rank highly in yards per play and in yards per game and all that, but if you don't take the ball away, you're not a great defense. Great defenses have to take the ball away, and that's what this Bears defense was not doing. Yesterday, they came away with three takeaways, scored on one. They were all huge plays. The Bears don't win that game without those takeaways, especially, and I know we're going to get into this in this hour, all the mistakes they made. This defense bailed the offense out, bailed the special teams out throughout this game. They came up with the big plays, and the secondary finally took a step forward. It was very impressive.
Kyle Fuller, let's start there. A guy much maligned in his Chicago Bear career, came in as a number one pick last year, didn't play at all with a knee injury, and even this, and we talked about it, even in camp, there were talks of him not even making the team. He was going to be the odd man out. He has stepped up with the absence of Marcus Cooper. Yesterday, it seemed like Joe Flacco had a game plan to go at Kyle Fuller, but he played tremendous.
Yeah, well, and even going into this game, it showed you how the Bears feel about him and how much he's come along since the offseason with Marcus Cooper being healthy. I mean, he missed the last game with a back problem, but he was healthy and active in this game, but he barely played.
Wow.
Kyle Fuller has taken over that starting job, and he's not giving it up right now. Look, the Ravens wide receivers are not very good, but he was stuck like super glue to those guys throughout the game. The only play where I thought he lost his guy and actually got beat was that play where Breshad Perriman, who was the Ravens' best wide receiver, actually got knocked out of the game with a concussion when Eddie Jackson came over and hit him, and that created the first interception for Bryce Callahan. That was really the only time.
Yeah,
all
he
game
didn't turn his head around quick enough, but it worked out.
Right, yeah, and you got, you know, but that's a sign of a good secondary though. Corner gets beat, the safety gets over there and knocks the ball loose. Fortunately, he suffered a concussion on that play, and it was actually a very scary hit.
Yeah,
but I think it was also a legal hit. I think it was just an awkward hit, and that's, you know, a young secondary right now is playing well in that regard. And Kyle Fuller is a very interesting situation here because the Bears could have picked up his fifth year option in the offseason. Okay, the deadline to do that was this past offseason. They did not do that. Obviously, they didn't do that because he looked like a bust. We didn't really think he was even going to be around this year. So you can't look back on that and say it was the wrong decision. I think it was the right decision. But now it creates a very interesting situation because he's playing very well right now, like a guy who's going to hit the free agency market in the offseason and make a lot of money. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bears do with Kyle Fuller here. Do they try to extend him? Do they, you know, where does this go? Because right now he's looking like a guy you actually want to keep around here.
The first time, I think, this entire year that we have actually seen call after call on the defensive side where stars are emerging. Danny Trevathan played a tremendous game where he was missed the week before because of suspension, but you saw him making plays. Eddie Jackson from the safety position came up and made a huge open field tackle at one point. The nonstop Eddie Goldman and Akeem Hicks over and over, Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd. It seemed like this defense was feeding off each other's energy because it seemed like every other play that was made by the defense was another guy that you're like, oh, they got that guy too.
Yeah, I mean, in this game, they had playmakers at every level of the defense. Up front, you know, Akeem Hicks has been, I've been saying this every week, he's playing like an all-pro. He should be an all-pro if the season ended today. It doesn't, you know, a lot of season left, but he's playing like a pro bowler, and he deserves all those accolades and really playing up to that extension he signed at the start of the season, which is great to see when you invest money in a guy like that, and he continues to perform. But Eddie Goldman right next to him, you know, this was a guy who's battled some injuries, and we kept saying, you know, if he can stay healthy, you can see the signs that he is going to just be a huge difference maker on that defensive line. And he has been that this season. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily pile up all the numbers, but if you watch the tape, he is clogging up the middle, pulling in double teams, and that's freeing up space for Akeem Hicks and other guys to get to the quarterback. And it's been very impressive. And it's completely different when in terms of shutting down the run game when Eddie Goldman's on the field. Then you go to the next level. You mentioned Danny Trevathan. We saw the difference last week when Trevathan wasn't on the field. He was missed, right? Some of those linebackers didn't, you know, Christian Jones didn't look as good last week as he did yesterday. And I gave him credit, too, for stepping up. But Danny Trevathan was flying around the field against the Packers a few weeks ago, gets suspended. They missed him against the Vikings. He had another great game yesterday. And then we just talked about the playmakers in the secondary that are starting to emerge. So when you could have when you could have difference makers at every level of your defense like that, it makes a huge difference.
All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. 312-981-7200. We talk about the good. Let's talk about the offense. That's next here on the Monday evening quarterback. Adam Hoge joins us. He takes your questions, calls. I already got some texts about, which I think is a nice little teaser here. The 815 says, the Bears know how to lose. And I think that we can get into that because it seems like at every game that we have the commanding lead, something happens in which we are closer to having that snatched from us. It almost happened yesterday. The Bears almost lost that game. They won it actually by accident. So we'll talk with Adam Hoge here. Coming up here after the break, Monday evening quarterback. Stay with us.
Flacco fakes, rolls, looks downfield, and throws. It's intercepted by Amos. Adrian Amos on the pickoff and the return. Amos still going, has a couple blockers. He's got a chance to go all the way. Adrian Amos, touchdown Bears.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. The Chicago Bears with the victory. It's Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Adam Hoge with us. Of course, the man covers the Bears for WGN Radio, wgnradio.com/Bears. All right, so I just want to read these stats. I mean, let me start here, Adam, because I got a lot of texts about this as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was the game plan for the Chicago Bears in this offensively? Did they see something with the Baltimore Ravens defense that said they could be taken advantage of on the ground? What was the approach and the reason why the Bears put the ball in the running back's hand 50 times yesterday?
Yeah, you know, John Fox after the game referenced the time he played the Ravens with the Broncos when he was the head coach of the Broncos and had Peyton Manning. And they did something similar where even though they had Peyton Manning, they ran the ball, you know, 40-some-odd times in the game. Now, I think this is a little bit of a different situation where I think there's a number of factors. I think one is probably the matchup. They saw something that going into this, they thought that they would definitely run heavy compared to passing the ball. I think part of that also has to do with the lack of wide receivers that that Mitch Trubisky has. And remember, Tanner Gentry got promoted to the active roster and was starting. I don't think that was the plan early in the week when they promoted him. I think they still thought they were going to have Marcus Wheaton out there, but Wheaton tore his groin in the middle of the week. So Gentry gets thrown out there. And if you saw, a lot of times they brought those wide receivers in a huge bunch formation, and that was kind of the game plan the entire day. So I think part of that had to do with personnel, the matchup against the Ravens, and then also Mitch Trubisky said after the game that it had to do with how they were playing them even within the game. The safeties were back, which had surprised them, and they felt like they could run. And they did run the ball pretty well yesterday.
Yeah.
Wasn't always consistent, but they were able to do that. So
yeah, I guess I would push back a little bit because
okay.
if Jordan Howard doesn't rattle off that 50-yarder in overtime, I'm not sure that you could say that the Bears ran the ball well.
Yeah, he would have been below 4 yards per carry.
He would have been barely over 100, maybe 110 yards with 36 carries, 35 carries. When you look at the stat lines of all the other running backs in the NFL, they're carrying the ball 25 times, scoring 115, 120 yards. The Bears, yes, they committed to the run, and they got the victory, and they got the time of possession, all that. But that's not why they won. None of those running backs got in the end zone. And they had to win with trick plays and a pick six. It's not as if the running game was actually effective. If anything, it kept the Ravens in the game.
But I made reference to this in the middle of the game. Everyone was frustrated. Trust me, my Twitter timeline was filling up with everyone was mad at Dow Loggins' play calling. So let me clear one thing up. I don't think that's Dow Loggins. I think that is all John Fox's philosophy and how he wants to run this thing right now. And especially when they have the lead in a game like they did. And really, they were in control for three quarters yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think it was in the middle of the third quarter, and everyone was frustrated with the play calling. But I tweeted out, as long as the Bears have the lead in this game, I don't expect this to change because it's not pretty. It's quite frankly kind of ugly, and it's boring, and it didn't look that great. But guess what? The Bears had a lead. And they were in control of the game, so I didn't expect John Fox to get away from it. So that's kind of why they continued to do that philosophy throughout the game. But I also think it goes back to part of this is they did not plan on playing Mitch Trubisky this early in the season. And I think that they are trying to develop him very, very carefully and not throw too much at him right now, especially when you consider the lack of weapons he has a wide receiver.
I'll buy the wide receiver issue. They have tight ends and they have running backs. And we saw Mike Glennon with the same, crappy wide receiver unit check down every third play or second or first play. But to me, I just was frustrated as a fan because there are other rookie quarterbacks first time starting that are throwing the ball 30, 35 times a game. You look at Deshaun Watson or you look at even the backups that are getting their first shot, whether it be in San Francisco or whether it be in Cleveland. They're not changing the game plan. The idea that Mitch Trubisky, who's your number two overall, is only in the game plan to throw 16 passes. Really, when you look at it, I think Cam Newton threw it 52 times. I mean, the idea that they're that far off, there's something as a fan which is it's just out of balance. I mean, we always hear balance like when you talk about they throw the ball too much, but in this case, I felt like they ran the ball too much.
Well, and again, I think a lot of it has had to do with the fact that they jumped out to a lead. I think it would have been different had they fallen behind, and that really is crucial because they've been playing from behind way too much. And also, I mean, Deshaun Watson has DeAndre Hopkins to throw the football to, and that makes a huge difference. You can just lob the ball up to that guy, and the worst-case scenario is it's going to be incomplete because he's going to knock it down. And there's nobody that resembles that play.
Even on a training camp, there's nobody. Let's be honest.
There really wasn't.
No. So that's so. All right. Well, I'll keep on this only because, and we'll take a break and get an update from Rob. It's interesting to me that the fans had clamored for a Mitch Trubisky. The change was made, and what we got yesterday was a John Fox special in which they wanted to win ugly. And when you have Mitch Trubisky, who's not Shane Matthews, and he's not, name any of the 30 quarterbacks that's not Jay Cutler, Kyle Orton or whatever.
Todd Collins,
right. You would just assume that there would be more opportunity to test this kid out. And yesterday, they might as well have played Mike Lennon. I'm going to take and leave it there. We'll come back. We'll continue. Adam Hoge, WGN Radio, WGNRadio.com/Bears. You can find out all his stuff, including a great podcast he does with Adam Johns. We will continue the conversation here. Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. Did the Bears Dick Geron this game? Stay with us.
Third and seven. Trubisky being rushed. Throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Thanks, Rob. It's the Monday evening quarterback here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Adam Hoge joins me from WGN Radio, covers the Bears. You can find out all his great stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears and hear him throughout the week and, of course, on the beat Saturdays. All right. I promised, 708 said, you're complaining too much about a win. And I find myself doing that. I think the positives, even though Mitch Trubisky only threw the ball 16 times, there were a few plays that showed why Mitch Trubisky's in the game and not Mike Glennon. First, let's talk about, again, with the offensive line center. Whitehair is just not I don't know what's going on with Cody. Is it Cody?
Yeah, Cody Whitehair.
Yeah, he snaps it over his head, but Mitch Trubisky shows his athleticism. This is the startling difference between a Trubisky and a Mike Glennon.
Yeah, I had four plays, and when I went back and watched the game over today, I came away even more impressed with Trubisky's performance than I thought. And I thought he played great. And I said on the podcast yesterday, our postgame podcast, that they don't win the game without Mitch Trubisky, and that's kind of what you're getting at, Justin. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at I'll mention all four plays. First of all, earlier in the game, there's a third and four, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Third and medium range, where he scrambles outside to the left side, sees an opening, and just goes and runs for it, and then is able to pick up even more yardage, and then ends up sliding down near the 10-yard line, and that set up a field goal. That was a smart play, but also a play that not all quarterbacks can do. His mobility allows him to do that. Okay, then the touchdown throw that he had, Kyle Long just completely misses block on that play.
Yeah.
I saw some people criticizing Trubisky for not seeing Deion Sims open earlier, and he was uncovered. It was some kind of busted coverage by the Ravens, and so maybe Peyton Manning is able to see that before the snap or something like that, okay? But Sims wasn't his first read on the play, and his right guard allowed pressure immediately right after the snap, so he's able to roll out to his right, avoid the pressure, and still find Deion Sims. I had no problem or any criticism with what Trubisky did on that play. I thought it was a great play. And then you talk about that recovery in the end zone. Absolutely. That's probably a touchdown for the Ravens if Mike Lennon's the quarterback. Forget safety. They probably recover the fumble and get a touchdown out of it. And then obviously the pass in overtime to set up the game-winning field goal. The way he stepped up in the pocket, that footwork in the pocket is what I've been raving about since the night they drafted him. That's the stuff that showed up on his North Carolina tape that you just can't teach. His feel for pressure, stepping up, and then kind of throwing like almost a jump pass, and it was on the money. And Kendall Wright made a great catch.
It's amazing that, of course, Kendall Wright's going to get that third down. We'll remember that play. But watching Mitch Trubisky evade the rush, move his body, and still keep his eyes downfield, I mean, that's what you bring to the table. And I think the reason that I at all complain about the Bears' victory is I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
I want to see both the positives and negatives. I want to see him throw an interception. I know I don't want him to lose, of course, but I want to see him go through that progression, understand, like, be in those situations again. Is there anything to be said about the way that the Bears lost against the Vikings on Monday night, where it was more of a gunslinging way that they lost, where Harrison Smith got that interception that made John Fox and Dow Loggins rethink the game plan for Mitch Trubisky moving forward?
Well, I think that's kind of what I was getting at in the last segment. I don't know that this game plays out as conservatively. It would have been conservative, no question. They came out conservative. But it, like, went ultra-conservative. And I think that's what you're frustrated with. I think that's what fans are frustrated with. Because they're all seeing this exciting new quarterback. Young. Has all these tools. Seems to have the awareness and the playmaking ability that no other Bears quarterback has had in a long time. And they want to see more of it. And I get it. I get it. Especially because it's been so hard to watch this team over the last few seasons. It has been really, really hard to watch them and devote a full Sunday to them every single week. And I get it.
Right.
Because Trubisky has that excitement and looks like he's going to be good. So you want to see that. But I think when you see that interception that he threw last week against the Vikings late in the game, you still understand that he's young. And it is important for John Fox to still win football games if he wants to keep his job. So in a situation like yesterday, I think that's why it went from conservative to ultra-conservative, because once they had that lead, once they were protecting a lead, as ugly as it was, as boring as it was, they did not want to create a crucial mistake. And now here's the thing. They ended up doing that, and it wasn't Trubisky's fault.
Right.
It was a bunch of other guys.
Special
he did
teams,
have the fumble,
right.
But that was – well, I guess if he didn't identify the protection correctly, because a blitzer did run free on,
who,
on his fumble.
I was going to ask you that question, because on that play and also the very strange hurry-up third down play that it felt like they were trying to get the Ravens to be offside. And that came mm-hmm. that play busted up because no one read the coverage and recognized that the guy was coming. That it might even ended up in a turnover. But whatever, and that play, that was a crucial play. Who is calling protection for the Bears offense? Is it Trubisky? Is it the offensive line? Who's missing? Because every time Trubisky got hit yesterday and any sort of the fumble or any other sack, they were pretty much coming clean.
Yeah, I mean, and that is one thing that we're probably not gonna ever know. I mean, that's the one thing, as I look at the film every week, that's the thing I'm guessing on. I can't grade it all out accurately, and I make that clear when I talk about how I grade the film. I mean, I don't know the playbook. I don't know, you know, who's got every single responsibility. I do my best during the week to ask those questions off to the side and try to find out, not in the interest of, you know, telling the world who screwed up, but really just to accurately understand who's struggling with what. And that is a fair point to bring up, Justin. It's a great question, because that's a lot of that is on the quarterback. Now, usually the center has something to do with it. And, you know, when you have a smart veteran guard like Josh Sitton, he might chime in too on identifying the mic, which means, you know, which all that means is identifying the point of how the protection is setting up. So when you do see a blitzer come free, like we saw on Trubisky's fumble, which was a turnover early in the fourth quarter, it's possible that that was a mistake made by Mitch Trubisky. He maybe did not see the blitz, and maybe that's on him. Or, you know, sometimes it's just great defense.
Yeah.
And you give a defensive coordinator credit for beating the offensive coordinator. That happens throughout a game.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of hard to know. But those are the things that just come with experience and kind of supports what I've been saying, like, yeah, it looked boring, but just hand the ball off sometimes and you can avoid that, because I think those are the things they're not quite fully comfortable with Mitch Trubisky going through a full game without having those types of mistakes. Yet.
Well, those mistakes that were made were important at different times, because the Bears were almost always in a third and mid to long because the running game was not picking up more than 2 yards a carry. I mean, that was that you found that more often than not, they were at third and six to third and 10. And we saw that in the Vikings game as well. What I did like this time around was Mitch Trubisky, and it's not fun. Again, it goes to that ultra-conservative game plan. He was much more disciplined to get that ball and throw it out of bounds when it wasn't there for him. I saw him do that 3, 4, 5 more times than he did against Minnesota, not trying to force something in. I think that's great. I think that's great coaching. I also think the greats might still buy some time and look for a third option.
Right, but I think that's something they're coaching Trubisky to do right now, you know, until he earns that ability to make
right.
the types of
that's
chances.
Where fans are getting frustrated, because we're like, that's what you're teaching this guy to throw it away? You know, that's my point. But go ahead.
It's something that you develop over time. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has earned the credibility to make a tough throw instead of throwing it away. And he still does throw it away sometimes.
Yeah, right.
The 6 throwaways yesterday, John Fox was actually raving today about those throwaways by Mitch Trubisky. And it almost sounded like an unintentional shot at Mike Glennon, but he said six throwaways better than six interceptions.
Right. That's my point. That, and I 815's got a good point on this, the text. They said, it doesn't seem like the offense has fire in their eyes playing the coach's game plan. And, I don't know anything about what fire is in any sort of running back or wide receiver or quarterbacks, but it did feel, like you said, very ultra-conservative. And when the coach is going out of his way to say positive things about throwaways and you didn't screw up, you didn't actually make the play, but you didn't screw up, I just feel like it's a very weird psychological thing for a Bears team that we want to see open it up. You see what I'm saying there? That's the point I have. That's why I've had came up with a sour taste for this win.
I do. I just think you need to be careful about bringing Mitch along the right way.
Yeah.
And you want him to gain confidence slowly. And if you can do it in a conservative way where he still manages to get a victory, that's a great situation. And again, I'll go back to the fact that this should have been an easy win for the Bears. Even as conservative and as boring as it was offensively, they were in control for three quarters. And I was thinking midway through the third quarter, when's the last time the Bears had a game where they whooped a team from start to finish? And that looked like what was going to happen. And then they made the mistakes. Tariq Cohen fumbles. The two special teams returns that they give up, and there was a bad punt in there too, and Jordan Howard's running out of bounds when the clock should have been running out. I mean, these were really stupid mistakes that they made.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have been that hard.
They wanted to hand it away, right.
So
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, you've walked me back, Adam.
Let's just see how – I think every week it's going to get a little – they're going to allow him to do a little bit more. And yeah. if that game had been tighter, I think you would have seen Mitch throw the ball more.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's not going to change is that we're just going to have to live with this season. He doesn't really have anyone to throw the ball to.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. We'll read some of the texts and wrap up with Adam Hogue here on the Monday Evening Quarterback right after this. Stay with us.
Blitz coming. Trubisky steps up, throws, and the catch is made. Kendall Wright, leaping grab inside the 25-yard line.
All right. Yes, we will remember those highlights. The Chicago Bears with the win. Monday Evening Quarterback, Adam Hogue, covers the Bears for WGN Radio. WGNRadio.com/Bears for all the information, including his podcast he does with Adam Johns from the Sun-Times. Adam, the one thing that's been texting a lot is about special teams. We've seen a mixed bag with special teams, but yesterday mostly negative, including two returns for touchdown, a shanked punt. This added to the negative already in our mouth, the taste in our mouth, and Marcus Cooper didn't run the field goal back when they beat the block field goal when they beat the Steelers. I mean, there seems to be something amiss with the Bears' special teams.
Well, I would categorize the first kick return for a touchdown by Bobby Rainey as sort of a fluke play that I don't know if it's a special teams issue, but it sort of falls under these weird plays we've seen over the last 5 years where the Bears don't pick up a loose football.
Right.
Or
they don't touch
play
the guy when
whistle.
He's down. Right.
Right. Now, I think that Josh Bellamy, I mean, he clearly hit Rainey's leg. What was unclear is whether or not that's what caused him to go to the ground.
Right.
And I actually agree with the decision that was made on the replay, which was not to overturn it because it wasn't clear. You were kind of guessing on whether or not that's what caused him to lose his balance, because he immediately ran right into his own guy after that. So it was kind of a weird play. But I'll tell you what, Benny Cunningham was standing right there and could have touched him or finished the play. The whistle hadn't been blown. So that – I don't know if it's so much of a special teams issue on that play as it is, you know, it just not finishing, which goes back to coaching.
Yeah, it does. There's some weird thing there where they're just finished. That's a great thing you just said, and they're just not finishing, and you feel like that across the board.
Yeah. And then the other one, you know, I will say that comes down to special teams. Some of it's coaching. The coaching aspect, I think, is more on the Ravens side, and what happened on the Bears side is more personnel, and I'll explain that to you. Look, every time someone gets hurt on defense, mainly on defense, but sometimes with offensive players too, like Benny Cunningham, It trickles down on the special teams, and eventually you get weaker and weaker and weaker. And sometimes we've seen that. Now, the Bears have better depth this year, and I think overall their special teams has been better. But in this game, they lost Sherrick McManus early,
who's
one of their
right.
two gunners.
Yeah.
And they lost Benny Cunningham a little bit later. Those were the two guys that you would usually have on the right side of your punt formation. And John, let's not forget John Harbaugh, the Ravens head coach, is a former special teams coordinator. And his teams are always well coached on special teams. And they ran a great play on that punt. They looked like they were going to sell out and go for the block. But instead, two guys ran out at Cravon LeBlanc, who was filling in for Sherrick McManus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have even been in that situation. So LeBlanc's not very experienced as a gunner, and they ran two guys at him and stuck him back near the line of scrimmage. I mean, when's the last time you saw a gunner stuck back at the line of scrimmage? That's what opened that whole left side up for the return. And so I have to give a lot of credit to the Ravens for pulling off okay. a play like that. But sure, I guess you give, you know, Jeff Rogers certainly has to go back to the drawing board this week and figure out how to avoid that, because he's probably not going to have Sherrick McManus this week.
All right, as we wrap up here, because we've got about 2 minutes left, the Chicago Bears get the win. They go to 2-4. We're starting to hear the rumbles, as we do every time around this year, that they still have a chance. They're still in it. Of course, Aaron Rodgers looks like he might be out for the year with the collarbone. Mm-hmm. The Packers lose. The Lions lose. The Vikings won, of course. But the 4-2 and 3-3, and then the Bears at 2-4. Is there optimism around this Bears team, this 2017 team, or are we firmly in the camp that this is a learning experience and this season is all about developing Mitch Trubisky, forget the record?
Well, it can be both. First of all, what you just said is the most important thing. No question, developing Mitch Trubisky, he has to come out of this season better and in position to move on towards greatness starting in year two. But I want to touch back on something you said earlier in this hour, which was, and I think it maybe came from a texture that you referenced, but the Bears just don't know how to win.
Yeah.
That idea. That's exactly how I felt as this game went to overtime yesterday. They are just a team. It's part of turning over the culture, and they've done a lot of good things in that regard, but they have not figured out how to win close
yep.
ball games.
You're right.
Especially on the road. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. They managed to pull it out yesterday. It didn't feel good, but they managed to pull it out. Okay, well, you have the Carolina Panthers coming to your building this week. Can you build on this? Can you turn this into two wins in a row? If they can do that, then I'll believe that they have started to figure out how to win close games, that they can actually win against decent teams, because they have two tough games coming up the next 2 weeks against the Panthers and the Saints. If they can pull out one of them, if they can win one of those games, you know, then maybe they have an outside shot at competing for the playoffs. I don't even like using that P word right now, but more importantly, just build on this win. If you can beat the Panthers and Cam Newton this week, then maybe you're actually building something, or maybe you're turning a corner as an organization.
There you go. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGN Radio. Find all of his great stuff at WGNRadio.com/Bears. He, of course, comes on with us for the Monday evening quarterback after the Bears play on Sunday. They play Sunday for the rest of the duration besides the bye. Adam, great to talk to you. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks, Justin.